Our gospel reading for September 22nd, 2024 comes from Mark's gospel account, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of our Lord. God's grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. I'm sure glad that this gospel text came to us this particular Sunday, because I need to hear this loud and clear after what took place last Friday night in Alexandria. Maybe a few of you know what I'm talking about, as there was a special celebration and recognition that took place prior to the Alexandria High School Cardinals football game. A celebration of their one and only state championship football team, a team that I was blessed to be part of a mere 50 years ago. I know it might surprise many of you that this quiet, soft-spoken, non-aggressive preacher would have ever taken part in such a violent sport as football. But I must admit I did, and I also must admit that I'm proud of the fact that we were the greatest team to ever play in the history of the Alexandria Cardinal football program. Proud that I was a first team defense gave up a total of just 3 touchdowns in our 12-0 football season. Proud that I was one of the few players that played every important down, defense, offense, special teams. Proud that I was named an all-conference player. Proud that I was named defensive player of the year my junior year. No individual trophies were given my senior year because we won the big trophy, a state championship. You bet I was proud, very proud. And as you can tell, I still am. But unlike the disciples in our gospel reading, I just broke my silence concerning this quest to be known as the greatest. Yes, once again in our gospel reading, as Jesus and his disciples are walking along, he asks them, "What are you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. See, I'm not the only one who has wrestled with this question. But now let's listen to what Jesus has to say next to his disciples, then and now. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." What? Last of all? Really? Jesus goes on to declare to his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me." What? Deny themselves and take up a cross? He goes on, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." What? Did he say lose? Lose their life? Like me, Jesus' disciples did not want to hear anything about losing especially when it comes to their lives. So what does Jesus say next in our gospel reading? Well, he goes on to speak of his impending betrayal, death, and resurrection. And he follows it up with another radical declaration. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Denying the self, losing your life, being last of all. Is that what it takes to be the greatest? Well, clearly Jesus' disciples struggled with this call throughout Mark's gospel account. As in the previous chapter, Peter is called out for setting his mind not on divine things, but on human things. In last week's gospel text, also from chapter 9, the disciples are unable to cast out a demon in a boy because they relied on their own power, their own greatness, rather than the power of God. Also in the previous chapter of Mark, before calling his disciples to take up the cross and follow, Jesus declares that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. And this was a mind-blowing statement from Jesus, something no one expected, including his disciples, as we hear in verse 32, that the disciples did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Even though the disciples had been there for the miraculous healings and feedings and exorcisms and glorious experiences, even though they had heard Peter's declaration that Jesus is the Messiah, they struggled greatly with this declaration. Certainly, this promised Messiah would not be betrayed and killed. What keeps them from understanding? Why are the disciples' ears closed to this news? Well, is the fact that they had other plans for this Messiah. They had plans of greatness for Jesus and for themselves. Jesus will go on to expose this self-centeredness later in chapter 10 of Mark's gospel account, declaring the great contrast between their concerns and his mission. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yes, Jesus had a completely different idea than his disciples of what it means to be the greatest. As our gospel text continues, this is made very clear as the disciples are called out by Jesus concerning what they had been arguing about on the way, which again led to that normal human response of silence, guilty silence, awkward silence. Within Mark's gospel, this is a pattern for the disciples, continuing to fall short of fully understanding the mission of Jesus and their call as his followers. Of course, at the same time, we recognize our own difficulties with this radical call from Jesus. So this is what Jesus does. He sits his disciples down for another formal teaching lesson in verse 35, declaring that whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And again, this call is radical on its own, but Jesus takes this teaching a step further by putting a little child among them. Once again, having a child in the midst of a great teacher, or even in the midst of a group of men, would have been unthinkable in that culture. With this radical action, Jesus turns their perspective of greatness upside down, declaring, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Yes, this is what it means to be the greatest. Putting even the least of others in front of the self, just as Christ did, just as he did for us on the cross. The word of Jesus reminds his chosen disciples of their call to take up the cross and follow him, a call to die to the self, the old sinful self, die to one's own greatness, and live in Christ. When we believe that the Son of Man was betrayed into human hands, killed, and 3 days after being killed, he was raised again for our sake, following him takes on a whole new meaning for us. Yes, this means dying to the old sinful self, and one's quest for greatness, and being raised to new life in Christ, the one who is the greatest. Of course, the call to die to the self is difficult. It's a difficult call for the disciples then and now to understand. Difficult to live out in this life. We are taught by our culture that success is directed to the self, to our own gain, our own interests, our own greatness. It's not easy to put aside those interests and the things of our culture, the things that our culture lifts up as important, things like money and time and excitement and privilege and popularity and power and pride, just to name a few. It is often hard for us to be followers of Christ because our culture and our own sinful selves want us to be the leaders, want us to be the greatest. The truth is, our human nature desires for us to be the greatest, the one who is first, the champion. But Jesus is calling us to be his followers, to give ourselves away completely for the sake of the gospel, to die to our human nature that sees oneself as being the greatest. Jesus calls us to serve him completely. That includes putting others before yourself. Being a disciple of Christ is about taking up the cross. It's about being last. It's about being the least of all. It's about the giving up of the self. It's about dying to yourself and being raised to new life with Christ. Once again, it's no surprise that the original disciples struggled with the call that they were given. Call to give up their own expectations and perceptions of the Messiah and his mission on behalf of humanity. The original disciples faced fear and anxiety and doubt concerning the word of Christ and their call to follow him. Yet it was those followers and many others after them who, through the power of God, took on this call of faith. A call that through the word and spirit of God has been given to you and me as well, in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to take you back to last Friday night as my former teammates and I, along with many other Alexandria football players and fans, celebrated the wonderful accomplishments of 50 years ago on the football field. I must admit that my mind went back to that familiar place, that place of personal and team greatness, at least until I found myself and many of my teammates trying to get ourselves onto the float for the parade. And as many of us limped and dragged ourselves onto the field for the flag-raising ceremony, and as I had the honor of pushing the wheelchair of one of our former teammates' mom, one of my very best friends, Jeff, who grew up just a block away from my house, whose dad played quarterback for us in hundreds of backyard football games, who remained close as we attended the same college. He was a wonderful friend who died tragically at the age of 22 along with his 12-year-old sister Jackie when a drunk driver caused a head-on collision on their way home from a wedding ceremony. Yes, as we celebrated our team's accomplishments, I was once again drawn back to the reality that any fleeting thought of greatness in this life was just that, fleeting. And I was quickly brought back by God's Spirit and Word to the promises that are not fleeting. The truth about greatness that is eternally ours in Jesus Christ, the one who through his life, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins who has shared his greatness with Jeff and Jackie, with you and me. Yes, on this special Sunday, God's word speaks to you and me concerning being the greatest, making clear that it is not about lifting up the self, but about the one who was lifted up on our behalf, the one who took the nails for you and me on the cross, the one who died for you and me, for the forgiveness of our sin, including the sin of pride and arrogance, for our ungreatness. Today we gather to worship the one who is the greatest, and the fact that he is the greatest for you through his great gift of grace, his forgiveness and mercy, the good news that is ours in Christ, our Savior and Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.